I ask you all to pray for me this morning, that the thoughts in my heart might find articulation, because up to now they haven't. But I want to ask you a question, and I want that to be the thing that you think about. And it may seem like an odd question, but maybe it'll make sense a little bit later. But consider this question, how you would answer it. What kind of boat are you? I told you it might seem like an odd question. But what kind of boat are you? We're going to read from Luke chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you want to be turning there. While you're turning, as you're able, I'd ask you if you'd stand in reverence for the reading of God's holy word as we read the scripture together. Again, this is the Gospel of Luke, 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. The word of God says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Lord, we thank you for your word today. We know that every word of Scripture is God-breathed, that it is absolute truth without error. And Lord, we know that your word is alive and active. And so, Lord, we pray by your Spirit, work through your word today. Lord, show us the motivations of our hearts, but also show us what our motivations ought to be. Direct us how you would have us to go. Lord, have your way among us, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is kind of a familiar story. In fact, it wasn't too many weeks ago we read this same passage. It just goes to show you that out of one passage, the Lord can speak multiple things. But it wasn't too many weeks ago that we looked at this before. And so we know about the fact that we're all called to be fishers of men, right? "From now on you will catch men," he told Simon. He told all those that would follow him, "Don't be afraid, from now on you'll catch men." So we know that the fish are really just a metaphor for how we're supposed to do evangelism, in that we are to go out into the sea of people, as it were, and attempt to bring them into the boat for Jesus. In this particular episode, they went out and they caught such a catch of fish that the nets were breaking. And so they called another boat to come help. And there were so many fish that both boats started to sink. Now, folks, we pray for revival in our community and in our land, but have you ever considered how you would feel if we had that kind of gospel catch? that the boats could not contain it. Would we be amazed at that catch of fish, as it were? Do you desire that? Do you really? Be careful how you answer. Because do our actions reflect that desire and that intent? Back it up a little bit. A few things about Peter here. Simon, also called Peter, we find that in the other Gospels. So when Jesus got into Simon's boat, it was Peter's boat. Most of us know him as Peter, so we'll talk about Peter. So Peter, when morning comes and Jesus is by the seashore, Peter's out cleaning his nets because he's done for the night, but Jesus teaches from his boat. That's got to be an honor, right? Because Jesus is already known as a great teacher. So certainly Simon is probably tired from the night before. But what an honor to be able to hear from the great teacher Jesus. I got a little more strength. I can stay up a little bit longer. I can finish cleaning my nets later. I get to hear from Jesus. Isn't that how we sometimes come to church? We're tired from the week before, right? It's long and arduous, and the job is hard, and the kids are difficult, or maybe the grandkids are full of way more energy than some of us have. And there are the stresses of life, the things that we worry about, health concerns, insurance, how we're going to make the money stretch, all the different stresses that come our way. And by the end of the week, we're really tired, right? We just kind of want to put our nets away, stop the work, rest for a while. But we get to come to this place, and we get to hear from Jesus. What an honor and privilege. And so we find the strength somehow to say, I'll rest a little more later. Right now I'm going to hear from the Lord. But something we have to know about Peter, number one, he was a fisherman by trade. So Peter knew what he was doing when he was out on the water, right? He knew how to find the fish. He knew how to cast the nets. He was a commercial fisherman. He wasn't out there with a Zebco rod and reel. But he's out there with nets. He knows where to find them, the way to cast and drag the nets, the way to bring them in. He knows the tricks of the trade. He knows how to read the waters, to read the seas, to know the right times, the right places, the right methods. He knows what he's doing. He has all the strategies. They're just ingrained, right? But another thing about Peter is that he's tired. Exhausted. We might think about, yeah, well, he's worked all night. Well, there's a word for work in the Greek called ergon. It's where in English we get ergonomic. Ergon is that word for work. It's the actual deeds of work. But the word used here is translated toiled. We have toiled all night. And that word actually means exhausted. Worked to exhaustion. Peter's exhausted. They've been fighting the sea. They've been throwing nets and dragging them in all night long. He's the expert, and yet they've caught nothing. He knew what he was doing, and they've been unproductive. And he's exhausted. And yet Jesus, after Jesus teaches, he says, launch into the deep and cast your nets. What would have happened if Peter had said, you know, I'm a fisherman and you're a carpenter. You're a great teacher, but I think I know better. We're done. What would have happened? But instead, Peter, you can draw whatever conclusions you like. You can sometimes read things into Scripture because sometimes there are applications either way. Maybe Peter was so filled with faith and awe of Jesus that he said, whatever you say, Jesus, I'm tired, but because I trust you completely, I'll throw in the nets again. Or maybe he was just humoring this guy. He might have been a little bit skeptical. He might have been saying, Master, we've toiled all night long. I'm telling you, the fish aren't biting. They're not out there. But just to humor you and to show you that I'm right, I'll throw out my nets. Whichever way you want to look at it, don't we sometimes do the same thing? Sometimes the Lord may direct us and we're so filled with faith and vigor, we're like, it doesn't make sense, but God said go, so we're going to go. Yes! And sometimes we're so filled with skepticism that God said go, but I know it's not going to work. It hasn't worked before. I know what I'm doing. I know the strategies. I'm just tired, but so he'll leave me alone. Fine, we'll do it. Be honest, you ever been there? But Peter threw the net in. And they were astonished at the catch of fish that they took in. So many fish that Peter's boat couldn't even hold it. Had to call another boat. And that boat almost couldn't hold them. The boats were sinking under the load. They couldn't bear the weight of what the Lord had done for them. I don't know about you, but I would love to be a church that almost can't bear the weight of what the Lord is doing. I say that, but do my actions reflect that desire? And so I asked you a question, what kind of boat are you? Because we're all boats. I mean, we can take this metaphor as far as we want to go. But the bottom line is, I'm just a vessel, right? Is this body going with me when I die? No. My soul is riding in this body like a vessel. This body's nothing more than a boat, really, out on this sea of life. And I can get really poetic with the imagery if you want me to. But bottom line is, I'm a boat. You're a boat. We're all boats. And Simon is a boat. Jesus came and he saw a couple boats by the sea and he just happened to get in Simon's. Simon wasn't using it for its intended purpose. There it was, a fishing boat, and he wasn't using it to fish right then. He's catching up for the night, cleaning up from the night before. But Jesus says, can I borrow your boat? Can we push out a little bit and let me use your boat for a little bit? And folks, That's what I pray happens every week when I stand before you. I pray that I'm taking a break from the things I'm doing from the week and just letting the Lord use my boat to speak. I don't want you to hear my words. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. Because my words can't transform. My words can't change lives. But the word of the Lord can renew the soul. So week after week, I'm hoping that the Lord Jesus is borrowing my boat, and that I'm like, sure, Lord, take it off a little ways. Speak whatever you have to say. And you all hope for that too, right? We come here because we want to hear from the Lord. Just like the crowds were pressing in against Jesus at the lake, we want to hear from Jesus when we come here. So you're hoping that I'll just let him borrow the boat. And so Jesus speaks, but after he's done speaking, he doesn't just send people home, does he? He says to this tired fisherman, now, get back to work. Launch into the deep and cast out your nets. And folks, I'll be honest, that's where I'm a little bit convicted. I have no problem. In fact, I desire, I hope, I pray that the Lord speaks from my boat. But just like you, I live with a family, with kids that can be challenging, a budget that can be tight, stresses from health, physical stresses, other desires and pressures in life that tax me for my time, and I wind up tired, right? And sometimes I just want to clean my nets and rest for a while. And then I look forward to the fact that, oh, I'm so tired, but before I rest, I get to hear from Jesus. I want to let him borrow my boat and speak. And then we all think the preacher goes home to take a nap, right? Sometimes I'd really like to take a nap. And you know, even if I take a nap on Sunday afternoon, that nap can't last all week long. And after Jesus is done speaking to me and through me, he even says to me, now launch into the deep and cast your net. And I wonder how often I do that. Sure, I'm faithful to be here for our Sunday night prayer meeting and for our Wednesday night Bible study. But folks, this building isn't the deep. This isn't where the fish are. Y'all know what this is? What this church facility is? This is a marina. This is where the boats come and gather to refuel, to refresh, to clean off, to get supplies, to become equipped. This is a marina. The boats don't stay in the marina. After they're refueled and restored, the boats go back on the water. So if I'm faithful to be here to teach the Bible study and to try my best to let the Lord speak through me, what am I doing out there on the water? Am I really launching into the deep and casting my nets? Gene told me earlier, and this is a great thing, folks. We got 105 here today, you said? 105 here today. 106. We've got 106 in attendance here today. Thank you, Lord. We're still not half full. And 60% roughly of Polk County is still unchurched. So with a population of, I don't know, I'm going to guesstimate maybe 25,000 in the county. A little quick math. That's 15,000 people in Polk County that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 15,000 people in Polk County, our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, who are lost and bound for hell and may not even know it. Do we really want to applaud ourselves over 106? Oh, we should be encouraged, but are we done? There is a great work to do for evangelism. I've been reading a book, and some of you are probably going to hear more about it later, because it's a book about Sunday school, and I started reading it simply just to review it as a potential giveaway for our Sunday school teachers at that appreciation luncheon. So some of y'all are going to get this book. The unintended consequence is that it has challenged my soul in several ways. Steve Parr writes this: one of the drawbacks to effectiveness in evangelism in our churches is that we have converted our fishing boats into houseboats. What do you do on a houseboat? You relax, fellowship, and enjoy the company of those on the boat with you. You do have work to do, but it's centered on maintaining an environment of leisure. You likewise have work to do on a fishing boat, but the objective is different. And so, folks, what I've been challenged with for myself is something we all need to be challenged by, something we all need to ask. What is our objective? When we leave this place, what is our objective? We leave the marina, We go back out onto the open water. But what's your objective? What kind of boat are you? Now the question makes sense, right? Are you a houseboat? Or are you a fishing boat? $15,000 fish in Polk County. Will we catch them all? No. But does the Lord want us to catch some? Yes. But we'll never catch them if we're not fishing. What kind of boat are you? And we have boats of all different kinds of sizes in this marina. Each of us individually is a boat. And we might be a small boat, but what are you doing? Are you casting out into the, are you launching out into the deep and casting your net? Each family unit is a slightly larger boat because as a unit, you can cast more rods, throw bigger nets, whatever it is, but you have a greater sphere of influence. So each family unit is a slightly larger boat. But then we also have Sunday school classes, small groups, bunko groups, any kind of fellowship group that is a larger boat. And if you've got larger boats, you can cast larger nets and you can cover a different part of the lake, the pond, the river, the ocean, whatever body of water you want to say we're on, you can cover a different part of it to catch different fish. But we have to be intentional with everything that we do. Are we fishing boats or are we houseboats? What kind of boat are you? And all too often, I've been challenged and confronted with the fact that, yes, maybe I'm happy to come here, and I pray that the Lord will borrow my boat and speak from my boat to everyone. And what a privilege and honor that is to be used in that way and also to hear from the Lord myself. But he says, launch into the deep. And all too often, I'm launching out into the deep in a houseboat. Because I've got my circle of comfort, my circle of friends, and on my houseboat, I can work on maintaining the status quo and chasing my hobbies and desires. And there's nothing wrong with hobbies and desires. You can do those things on a fishing boat too. Like the thing said, there's still work to do, and some of it is the same work, but the objective is different. What's our objective? What about you guys? What kind of boat are you? What kind of boat is your family? What kind of boat is your Sunday school class, your small group? And if you're not part of a Sunday school class or a small group, are you missing an opportunity to fulfill the commission to go be fishers of men? As a marina, are we equipping all of the fishing boats the way that we ought to? There's a lot of things we need to ask ourselves because we look at history. And in the book of Acts, we see that Peter preached and 3,000 souls were saved in one day. And we think, wow. And that happened several times in Acts. And we think, oh, well, that's Bible times. But even in our own history, we know that, what was it, 70, 80 years ago with the Hebrides revival, thousands came to know the Lord in a short amount of time. And some of us may remember back to another generation in church where, you know, a few weeks ago we had the opportunity to baptize one at the creek. And we talked about the fact that it wasn't that many years ago when we would go to the creek and line up 12, 15, 20 souls to be baptized. And we think, boy, those were the good old days, right? When that many folks would come to the Lord, or we'd have revival effort meetings and the altars would be filled with people seeking the Lord. And we think those days are gone, right? Because We've been trying all the same stuff that we used to try. We know all the tricks. We've been doing church for a while. The fish just aren't biting anymore. We've been toiling all night, and we're tired. We're exhausted. We just need to rest, so we take a break because the fish just aren't biting. But folks, is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? So if He could save 3,000 in one day then, can He still do it today? Are we asking for too much when we pray for 15,000 souls in Polk County? But are we doing our part? Are we fishing? Or are we riding our houseboats in comfort? I know that many of us are tired. I know there's a generation in this church who have served faithfully for so many years, and honestly, this church wouldn't still be here if it weren't for some of you. Because in good times and in bad, you've been the foundation. You've been the rock that the Lord has used to perpetuate it. But I know some of you are tired. And then there's a generation behind that of folks who are just trying to keep up. Not quite to retirement, but almost there. Or maybe retirement isn't as good as it was for an earlier generation because, you know, the economy is really good these days. Or maybe the stresses of children and grandchildren and the issues in the society have you worried and petrified, and you're just tired. You can't take on anything else. Or maybe you're parents and you've got little kids like me and they run through the house. And it makes me tired just watching them. I can watch Matthew run a lap back and forth through the house. And I'm like, how does he do that? I just want to take a nap. I know we're tired. But let me ask you this. If you had a child, maybe a grown child or a family member or a close friend, or a loved one who is getting into a dangerous situation because they've been deceived, because they believed a lie. Or maybe they were condemned or convicted of something because of a lie. They were framed for something. Would you rest or would you work tirelessly to do everything you could do to make the truth come to light so that they could be set free and made safe? The obvious answer is we'd do everything in our power. We wouldn't eat. We wouldn't sleep. We'd just barely breathe, right? 15,000 souls in Polk County are in danger of losing their eternal souls because the world has told them a lie. We who know the Lord know the truth. Folks, this is truth. Every word in it is true. Whether we like it or not, it's true. It's the Word of God. The world out there says there's parts of it we don't like, so therefore I'll come up with my own truth. And they sell that to our children. They sell that to our grandchildren. They sell that to our friends and our neighbors to chase a hedonistic philosophy that says, do what feels right, follow your heart. Those are lies that are going to condemn them to hell. They need to know the truth. And the truth is that Jesus is the only way to be saved. That we're all condemned to die and go to hell, not because of God, but because of ourselves, our sinful selves. But God, in love and mercy, has provided a rescue in Jesus Christ. But He's the only source of rescue. He is the only hope for the world. He is the only salvation. It may not be a convenient truth, so Al Gore might not like it. But it is truth. And we have that truth. And because we've been shown such love by the Savior, we ought to be able to reflect that love to the world around us. Not to go beat people over a head with a Bible, but to love them. So what if we're tired? People are dying and going to hell. And I believe now is the time that the Lord is saying to this church, to Hatfield First Baptist Church, launch into the deep and cast your nets. Maybe we've gone through some years and some seasons where the fish haven't been biting and all the strategies that we know and have tried for years haven't been working. And maybe we're tired, but Jesus is saying, launch out into the deep and cast your nets anyway. And so ask yourself, what kind of boat are you? And if you're a houseboater, you will and convert yourself back to a fishing boat. Because if we will cast our nets, if we will, Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I will cast the net. See, that's the other thing. We don't go cast the nets just because that net casting is what we do. Peter said, at your word, I will cast my nets. If we follow Jesus, if we will listen to Him, if we are His, if we are His sheep, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. We can hear Him speaking. And if we will follow the word of the Lord and obey Him, folks, we may be amazed at the catch of fish that we see. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had to call another boat, another church, to come help us take them all in? Because, you know, we don't grow the kingdom in order to grow this church. We grow the church in order to grow the kingdom. Because it's not about Hatfield First Baptist Church. It's about Jesus. Nevertheless, at your word, I will cast out my nets. Are we ready to cast? Because I believe that today He is saying, launch into the deep and cast your nets. Don't worry about being tired. Don't worry about strategies. Trust and follow me. Will we do it? That may just so happen. There might be some folks here. Maybe you're here today and you have not yet been saved. Maybe sometimes there are some fish that swim right up to the marina. Folks, if you're here hearing the word of the Lord, I want you to hear that Jesus wants to save you. The word of God says that He desires that none should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. Out of those 15,000 souls in Polk County, will we catch all of them? No. But would the Lord like to save all of them? Yes, He would. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, but something about this word, or actually it's not even about anything I've said, it's despite me, maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and letting you know that yes, it is all true, that we are all sinners condemned to die, but that Jesus is the hope of the world, that because Jesus died in our place, we can be saved by repenting toward God and putting our trust in Jesus Christ and surrendering to Him. If you believe that today, then will you do that today? If the Lord is leading you to that, if the Lord has put conviction on your heart, will you seek Him? I'm not going to tell you a prayer to pray. There is no prayer to pray. You just pour out your heart to the Lord. The Lord knows your heart. When you fully trust Him and surrender to Him, He'll save you. And you will know the Lord. It's not that you will know the gospel or that you will know the Bible or that you will know facts or figures. It's that you will know the Lord. You will meet the one who spoke all there is into existence and be a personal friend of Jesus Christ, the eternal Word. You know, that's a meeting you don't soon forget. Some people think, well, I can't remember when that was. Yeah, I'm not asking for a date on the calendar or a time. But do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember when you met the Lord? How many of you have met a dignitary or a famous person? Anybody? You know, a president, senator, country music singer, you know, whatever it may be. I've met several. I can't tell you what date it was, But I can tell you when I met Senator Lamar Alexander, Senator Bill Frist, a couple of the governors of Tennessee back when I was a Tennessean. I remember those because it was remarkable how much more when I met the King of Glory, the Maker of the universe. Yes, I remember that day also. I'll never forget that day. You can have that kind of experience today too. If you have not met the Lord, you can meet Him today. Just surrender to Him. But for the rest of us, if you know Him, then you know that His heart was moved with compassion for you so that He would save you. Do you not think He has the same compassion and mercy for 60% of Polk County? Yes, we may be tired. We may be frustrated that our methods, our expertise, our strategies haven't worked in the past. But will we listen when the Lord says, launch into the deep and cast your nets? Will we say, at your word, Lord, I'll cast my net? The time is now. What kind of boat are you? Maybe a better question is, as we leave this place, what kind of boat are you going to be? Just ponder that as we continue to worship. I'm going to ask our music folks to come lead us in a song. And as they do, continue to worship. Continue to pray about that. And however the Lord may lead you, if He's convicted you that you need to repent of something, that you need to make a change, make a different kind of commitment to follow, then seek the Lord on that. And if you're here today and need to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul, then do that today. You can come up here to the front. You can stay where you are. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you erect an altar in your heart and offer yourself to the Lord. So will you follow the Lord as we continue to worship? Let's stand together for a word of prayer and then we'll sing. Father, I thank You for Your word. Sometimes, Lord, Your word is challenging. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it steps on toes. Sometimes it kicks us in the shins and leaves bruises. But, Lord, it's always for our good. Lord, I thank You that Your word exposes our flaws, but it also reveals Your perfection. It reveals Your mercy, Your forgiveness. And so, Lord, I confess that all too often I've been a houseboat. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive me. And I know there may be others here who can make that same confession today, Lord. And I'm thankful that in Your word You tell us that when we confess, not if we sin, but when we sin, if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, cleanse me, empower me, equip me, enable me to be able to, at Your word, launch into the deep and cast my net. And Lord, for those that are praying that same thing with us, Lord, I pray that You would work powerfully through us. Lord, we desire to see You move, not for our sakes, not for our growth or our ego, but, Lord, so that Your kingdom may be expanded. We pray for an amazing catch of fish, Lord. And Lord, there may be some here today who do not yet know the joy of salvation, or maybe they've just never yet professed it. Lord, if that's someone, I pray today may be the day that You move them to seek You and surrender to You completely. Lord, I pray that today may be the day that they tell the world that Jesus Christ has saved their souls. Lord, move among us. Work among us. Have Your own way, Lord. As we continue to worship, Lord, would You stir our hearts? Direct us, Lord, and give us the strength to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.